Right now, though, want to take you to America. President Joe Biden has addressed the nation as the US has passed the figure of 500,000 COVID-related deaths. It's the highest number of any country. The president and vice president and their spouses observed a moment of silence outside the White House during a candle lighting ceremony. Let's go live to Washington to see what has been happening in the last 24 hours or so in more detail with LBC's Washington correspondent Simon Marks. Evening to you, Simon. What's been happening there?
Well, it's a busy day here, but it is absolutely overshadowed, as you indicated there, by the news that we got last night, the grim milestone of 500,000 Americans dead as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. And yes, while per capita the death rate is higher in the UK, Belgium and Italy, it is still a stunning figure. More Americans have lost their lives to COVID-19 than died on the battlefields of World War I, World War II and Vietnam combined. Who would ever have imagined that just 12 months ago? At Washington's National Cathedral, the toll of the bell 500 times last night. At the White House, President Joe Biden leading the nation in mourning.
The people we lost were extraordinary. They spanned generations. Born in America, immigrated to America. But just like that, so many of them took their final breath alone in America.
And he spoke in unusually personal terms about grief, reflective perhaps of his own very personal losses during his life, of his first wife and 13-month-old daughter back in 1972, and more recently, the death from brain cancer of his own son, Beau.
For those who have lost loved ones, this is what I know. They're never truly gone. They'll always be part of your heart. I know this as well, and it seems unbelievable, but I promise you, the day will come when the memory of the loved one you lost will bring a smile to your lips before a tear to your eye. It will come, I promise you.
You could not find a greater contrast between President Biden's empathy for those families grieving and the continuing failure of his predecessor ever properly to honour the nation's COVID-19 dead. You also couldn't find a greater contrast between the wave of optimism that has swept the UK over the last 24 hours, all that talk about a path back to normalcy, and the very deep crisis and pessimism that still dominates the conversation here in America. Vaccine manufacturers Pfizer and Moderna said today they will deliver an additional 140 million doses to the US over the next 5 weeks. The companies say they have finally resolved problems that were slowing down production. Let's see then if it gets any easier to find a jab right here in the US capital. Washington, D.C. itself is lagging behind many other states. Only 3% of the population in this city has now been fully immunized, which really should be a national scandal. On Capitol Hill today, they're probing another scandal. Hearings are underway into the January 6th attack on Congress by armed conspiracy theory-believing supporters of former President Donald Trump. Former Capitol Hill Police Chief Stephen Sund pushed back against claims by some Republican senators that it's wrong to call the insurrection armed.
The events I witnessed on January 6th was the worst attack on law enforcement and our democracy that I've seen in my entire career. I witnessed insurgents beating police officers with fists, pipes, sticks, bats, metal barricades, and flagpoles. These criminals came prepared for war. They came with their own radio system to coordinate the attack, and climbing gear and other equipment to defeat the Capitol's security features.
And he disputed suggestions that police should have anticipated the assault, saying the U.S. government's own Department of Homeland Security had not raised the threat level surrounding the event 24 hours before President Trump incited it. It has to be said, it is amazing to watch seditionist Republican senators like Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, men who just weeks ago were trying to subvert the outcome of America's presidential election, sitting on the committee that is investigating the insurrection that they also played a role in inciting. There's one other headline from here today. Fresh sanctions against Russia are in the pipeline. The Biden administration is planning to punish the Kremlin for the so-called Solar Winds hack of the US government last year and the jailing of opposition activist Alexei Navalny. Those sanctions are not imminent, but the White House says they'll be coming in weeks, not months, raising the possibility of coordination with the EU, because, Chris, European leaders are set to sign off on fresh sanctions against Moscow by the bloc in the middle of March.
And what's the situation with Texas, Simon? We've been seeing extraordinary pictures over here of this widespread water and power shortages in record low temperatures after this historic freeze. What is the president doing in reaction to what's happened in Texas? He's some reports that he might be travelling there soon.
Yes, he's going to be heading there on Friday. We just heard that within the last hour or so from the White House. He'd mooted the possibility of travelling to Texas even while the winter storm was underway, but said he didn't want to go down there while he would be drawing attention away from the efforts of emergency services to deal with the crisis. For people in Houston, there was a bit of good news today. The boil water notice that has been in place in the city for the last several days has finally been lifted. But in other parts of South Texas, there are still millions of people who are being warned that their drinking water may not be safe and that they should continue to boil water for at least 2 minutes before they can consume it. President Biden will travel to Texas with his wife, the First Lady Jill Biden. We know that they're going to tour some of the areas worst hit by that winter storm, and also that they're going to visit a COVID-19 vaccination center in Texas, all part of their efforts to encourage people across the United States to take advantage of vaccines whenever they get the opportunity to do that. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of interaction occurs between President Biden and the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, who is a Republican, very close politically to former President Donald Trump, a man who last week was entirely falsely claiming, Greg Abbott was, that the storm damage had been caused primarily by wind turbines freezing up. A slam there, of course, on the kind of alternative energy solutions that President Biden is proposing for the United States. Of course, it wasn't just the wind turbines freezing up that was the main cause of the crisis in Texas. It was the state's catastrophic infrastructure and its catastrophic decision to maintain its own electricity grid outside the national grid. It's islanded from the national grid. One of the reasons why Texas decided to do that was that it wanted to embrace the concept of an unregulated electricity market. And we have seen, Chris, in the last couple of days, hair-raising reports of members of the public in Texas who, under normal circumstances, might get an electricity bill of, you know, $80 a month because they signed up with one of these unregulated electricity companies that gets to change the price of electricity supply minute by minute, reflective of market forces that come to exist. Well, of course, last week, when there was no electricity in Texas, those companies that were unregulated and were able to access it jacked the price up to the point where you're seeing people getting bills for $16,000 for a month of electricity that normally would have cost them $80. And they do not appear to have a legal leg to stand on in fighting this, because the companies argue, well, you went into this arrangement with an unregulated electricity company. Your eyes should have been wide open. It was all there in the small print. So there's all sorts of questions about what's going to happen. But literally stories in the newspapers here about people whose lives are being ruined by these enormous electricity bills they're getting because they happen to be lucky enough to live in an area where there was still power, even as the Texas electricity grid was collapsing around them. It'll be interesting to see how President Biden chooses to address that and approach it when he gets there to the Lone Star State on Friday.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for that update. That's our Washington correspondent, Simon Marks, there for us live here on LBC News. It's just gone 6:30.